Cruz, good evening.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, we're a bit late to the game, but let's talk Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just got back from Manila, which is why we're a little bit late, and we put up the Juicero episode just recently. And the Apple event took place in Manila, so I watched it at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And the big news is that the area I was in flooded, so we carried back Papa John's pizza on our heads and braved dead rats, sewage, and roaches in order to get back and watch this Apple event.
That's why we need drone deliveries.
It would have helped a lot.
Yeah.
Like in all seriousness, I had to go out and buy new sandals because they didn't want me to walk around barefoot because of the sewage and the water when it flooded.
You have no idea what you're going to step in. No.
Yum!
Yeah.
So Apple
Papa
event.
Papa John's, yum.
Oh, and if you were worried about Papa John's, you know, like, oh, here goes the American going over to Manila and he has to get Papa John's. Don't worry. There were roaches in the Papa John's restaurant. So still authentic.
But not in the box.
Not in the box. Not okay. In the box. No, it was a pretty normal Papa John's pizza.
Yeah.
So I think for the Apple event, how we can break this down is just look at the different announcements and maybe take 3, 4, 5 minutes per announcement to break down some things that we liked about it, some pros, some cons. What we think things are going to look like going forward, because we've talked a lot about this over the past year and a half, and they've delivered some things that we've discussed, other things they've still been missing out. Siri, crappy voice. So I think that's how we'll roll.
Do you know what I found out about Siri? I tried to use it last week on my iPad Pro, and it turns out that Siri doesn't understand me from 1 meter away. And if I speak up slightly, then Alexa can pick me up perfectly 2 rooms away.
Well, I mean, that's quite a bit of difference in service. We're going to come back to Siri.
Yeah.
Okay, so first big announcement, Chus.
Yeah?
Apple TV.
Oh, depends on what kind of TV I have.
Let's get to the next announcement.
Okay.
That's what I think about that.
Yeah.
Waste of my time. So Apple Watch, which is actually interesting.
Yeah.
So with this one, they dropped SIM in, and then there's a bunch of new chipsets in there that they put in. But the SIM is the key here, and I actually think this is the most important announcement of the event.
Why is it the most important? Tell me.
Well, we talked about, you know, a year ago when we covered one of the last Apple events, we talked about this wireless future, right? Apple has the AirPods, and I have fallen in love with my AirPods. It did take me a while to adjust to them.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. And we said, you know, when they put SIM capabilities in the Apple Watch, and we knew it was just a matter of time, this would be a pretty big deal. I can now leave. I can take phone calls. I have my AirPods. I have my Apple Watch. I don't need my phone. And for me, especially for exercise situations, which I think really is a big target based on the scenarios they play out in the events and the announcements, this to me is a big, big deal.
Yeah. So the Apple Watch went from being an accessory to an iPhone to its own thing.
It's not quite its own thing yet. It still needs the iPhone, right? So it's not quite a new hub onto itself, but it's getting there.
But the thing is, the hub is actually in the internet. It's like what we were saying before. You can get information, and you need your iPhone as a way of accessing the hub or getting access to a hub at Apple, which is cloud computing power. But at that moment in time, when you have an iPhone, your Apple Watch becomes a standalone device that you can do things with, that you can access things with. And you can stream your Apple Music now while running in the park and leaving your phone at home. What I mean is that it might not, the iPhone might still technically be necessary, but it's not per se the hub. It's not the thing that you're streaming data from all the time.
True. I have heard the battery life. I haven't looked this up. But the battery life when you're streaming music and without your phone or you're on a phone call does not last very long. It's fairly short, like an hour or something.
About 42 miles, yeah? Just one marathon, it's over.
Yeah, less than that. that's of course disappointing, but this is a V1 of basically a very new and updated product. What I particularly think is interesting, continuing that path of AirPods and Apple Watch situations, is that we get into this wireless future. Everyone bitched about Apple taking away the headphone jack, and now they're introducing wireless charging. We're going to get into that in a bit.
Yep.
But what I really like is they are pushing everybody else into the future. Right now, other people are removing jacks. Other people use Qi charging. So I do think what they are doing is good to move the industry forward. They are still carrying that forward in a way.
Yeah. Now, I do like where all of that's going. And I must say, I've been using Bluetooth headphones a lot. And it does make a lot more sense. It gives you more freedom. The only thing I want to say, the only negative thing, going back a little bit to our paranoid initial episodes of the podcast, the more we use wireless technologies, or at least wireless connection technologies, I don't want to say wireless charging, but things like NFC, Bluetooth, and Wi-Fi, if you have to have these things enabled for basic functionality, you do make your devices very trackable in places, in shops, shopping malls, wherever you go. And it's the only downside that I see to the wireless future is that at the moment, all companies are enabling wireless technologies and are leaving them prone to tracking and are not helping us that much. And after seeing some of Apple's announcements about privacy and how they handle privacy, we'll get to that in a little bit, I guess. It has much more to do with the iPhone 10. I think right now they're still missing the wireless technologies side and how they ensure your privacy there.
Yeah, I have no disagreement there. I like everything you said. You can be more easily tracked, and you probably will be, especially if you're running. Yeah, it's there. So yeah, that's a whole other podcast we can come into.
Yeah.
I think from a user perspective, from a designer perspective, what's interesting is to watch how Apple is changing the way that people use devices and the different use cases that will start to enable that. You know, the phone, the watch, the earphones are all becoming different use cases.
Yeah.
You know, previously it was music. Now I'll be able to do a lot more things, you know, again, through or without wires, et cetera.
Yeah. So,
yeah. iPhone 8. Is there, I don't really care to discuss this because it's...
As I told you, I don't think it exists. It's like a hype man for the iPhone 10.
Well,
they're just acting like they're selling it while they're getting the iPhone 10 ready.
Well, apparently, I've already read articles that sales are depressed, obviously, because people are waiting for the 10, which then I've heard from that one, it's going to be more limited in supply because they're having some issues making it. So let's go to the 10, or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just for all people in the U.S. listening to this, so over here, the price is not $999.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, survey told me this.
1169 euros, which translates closer to $1,400.
$1,350,
something like that. It depends on the day, but yeah, it's insanely more expensive here. And there's people who are looking at what's the cheapest
1402.
I was close. So if you take a cheap ticket with Wizz Air, Wow Air, whatever, the Iceland airline, you can actually fly to New York, buy an iPhone, get back, and save some money.
There you go. Of course, you want to make sure you don't declare it coming in so you don't have to pay the taxes on it.
Yep.
Get rid of the box and the receipt.
Scratch it. You have to scratch it.
Okay, so iPhone 10, you know, the big thing to me on this is ARKit. I really don't care about the edge-to-edge, which it really isn't edge-to-edge. The Samsung, I think, does a better job of that. To me, it is about the facial recognition and the ARKit work that they're doing here. I think the rest of it is evolutionary.
I understand why Apple did the whole notch thing on the top. I know what kind of hardware is there and what it enables for the phone. But coming from the company that always said, we're going to make designing for our devices very simple. And once we have more devices, we're going to make sure that designers don't have to design for multiple aspect ratios or multiple pixel densities. They've invented the whole business with retina screens, basically, and how this scales up and how that would work. They started to get a little bit sloppy on that once they got the 6 and the 6 Plus, because the 6 Plus wasn't quite at 3x retina resolution, meaning that when you exported your assets for that, they technically became slightly blurry, but because the resolution was so high, you couldn't really detect it. They started to sort of falter in their own kind of regimen there. But now this notch, I've seen very funny tweets of people that made animations of how the scroll bar should behave in the notch or other things. But really, now I have to think about that special part of that one phone they have.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Sketch is going to have to make new templates for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I go on a rant for a moment?
A short one.
Sure. Okay. Our poor podcast editor is going to have to deal with my levels on this one. Okay. Here's the deal about everything that pisses me off after Apple events. So I go on Facebook after every Apple event, right? And people are like, oh, it's just another Square. Oh, it's not evolution, or it's not revolutionary, right? Ah, wine, wine. I don't know what the people want. Look, I don't know what people are doing. If they expect things to be in a circle or some shit, it is a rectangle. What do you want them to do with the phone? I feel like this is like, you know, BMW comes out with a new car. And it's like, oh, the steering wheel is still on, you know, the left side. It is, right? Because that's where it belongs, right? So don't criticize this for the fact that the design remains the same. The exterior design, I feel like people focus on that one bit and then they don't actually understand the internals that go into it. Like the actual, the bump that you just mentioned, that has a ton of technology in it that is amazing. The chip design they work on is great. The stuff they put internal is where the real innovation happens. And I feel like people just continually look at this and they're like, well, it still looks like the same exact phone that I had last time. That's not the point of it. Things are being moved forward in other ways. And I think when people, especially designers, look at this and say that, oh, it's not changing, therefore it's not innovative, they are totally dismissing 80% of what actually makes up, you know, all the use cases for this phone. And it drives me nuts because it totally makes designers look like they only have the ability to look at things aesthetically as opposed to the complete business case and the complete technology stack that's behind it. God damn.
I'm not going to get as angry, but if we look at it super honestly, like all phones are being sold on what they look like. And every phone I see out there that's older than a month has a case on it and a screen protector. And people who don't do that actually have a cracked screen on their phone.
I don't.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. You're special. But all that we talk about is the outside of a device where it's actually all about the virtual functionality and the software and the capabilities of it. The whole outside really doesn't matter.
I mean, people are sitting there. What, you want them to put square corners on it and then all of a sudden you'll be happy? You know, give me a break on this. Last time with the 7, right, people got all up in arms about the audio jack. And here's the thing. If somebody didn't do that forcefully, we would never be brought forward to a wireless future. People sit around and they complain and they criticize. And yet if somebody didn't do it, we wouldn't get there. So somebody has to do it, and Apple is saying, screw you guys, we are going to do it. We are going to move everybody forward, because once the iPhone does it, a bunch of Android devices, Samsung, Sony, et cetera, are going to copy it. We've already seen that. And I think people look at these small, what they interpret as small details to be irrelevant or to be obnoxious, and what it is actually doing is setting it up for a completely different future that if somebody, you know, example Apple, did not do it, it would not happen. And all people are paying attention to is a rectangle, right?
I agree to that, but as much as we have bashed Apple in the past for not adhering to standards, they seem to know how to create them. So I'm not too worried about this. I'm not a fan of wireless headphones just for some situations, and I'll keep on buying a phone that can handle my nice and big ones. It's fine. But I don't think that they've seen any slump in sales. So people just like to complain about the person at the top or the company at the top. It's just easy.
Yeah. So going back to the really positive things I think are interesting, the facial ID, obviously the facial recognition.
Yeah.
But I still think ARKit is the biggest sleeper here. People seem to gloss over that. And to me, that's really setting up for a complete different shift in how we end up using our phones. And I feel like phone is going to start to be the wrong term to use, right? This is, because now your watch is a phone.
Yeah.
And we call it a watch, but it is much more than that. We call this a phone. It is obviously much more than that. So we are using legacy terms. And I feel at some point there needs to be a shift on what we call this rectangular, you know, computer that we keep in our pocket.
Yeah.
I was going to say recto computer. That doesn't work.
Rectal computer.
Good thing I'm not in marketing, Jesus. Oh,
what the thing is about the ARKit is that it used to be very difficult for developers to do AR because everybody had to have like a homegrown, home-cooked library to do this. And everybody had their own version with their own problems. Now there's a huge company that invested in special hardware. So dual lenses on the back and in the iPhone 10, even a Kinect-like camera on the front-facing camera to do AR-like, AR kit tracking. And with that comes a super solid library that allows anybody, even like Apple always shows off these super young programmers, right, that have written many apps. These kids can now do AR. And we all know that it's the future. Microsoft is investing a lot of money in HoloLens. We see new VR goggles come out for the Windows platform that have dual cameras in it, so you can do VR with AR. So the only thing that Apple is doing is it's giving a gift to the developers that are going to make wonderful apps like they always do.
That's the thing, right? They set it up with the App Store, right? They gave them a platform. Like, I don't know if people remember before the App Store, you bought boxed software or you would go to some website to download an application that you were never sure if was going to harm your computer.
Yeah.
And the App Store gave you a way around that. And to me, this is, again, like Bootstrap, a set of tools that can be standardized. And what I'm waiting for is, of course, I think what a lot of people are discussing is the Apple Glasses, which who knows if that's real or not.
They're just going to buy Magic Leap.
Yeah. It's something like that, but you can imagine all of a sudden, you know, that's your really next step in your wireless future.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about the camera.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up with the camera.
Yeah. So as you know, I'm a bit of a pro amateur photographer. I do it for work sometimes, mostly for hobby, but I spend way too much money on cameras. In the time that I have been spending too much money on cameras, the mobile cameras have gone from non-existent to being available in a mobile phone to now sometimes in some situations being like, wow, I'm not sure if I would have gotten that good of a photo out of my expensive Sony. And of course, the rule of the best camera is the one you've got on you. Well, I always have my camera on me, but I can access my phone even faster. So the best camera is the one that you can grab the fastest is even more true than the one you have on you because I always carry both. But there's always been this thing that you can do more tricks or you can do optically better, get better results with your SLR camera or your mirrorless camera. And a couple of years ago, this was because a phone lens is insanely small. So there's a couple of things that it cannot do, which is it couldn't catch a lot of light. And therefore, it would be dark photos or noisy photos. And because it cannot catch a lot of light, it's because of the aperture. And therefore, the depth of field is not really something that you can work with, which means background blur was almost impossible on phones. Now, in the past few years, they've been making that better and better, and some phones can do it. And Google started experimenting first with doing kind of a depth scan of the area and therefore allowing your camera to do background blurring. So a software-based background blur, making these super smooth pictures. Then last year, Apple came out with a dual camera system that uses the two viewing angles of the sensors to pick out foreground and background objects and do this background blurring much, much better than Google's early experiments. So all of a sudden, from a results point of view, the cameras were on par because there was a zoom in and out optically on your phone because of the two lenses, and there was background blurring. So the conversation all of a sudden became like, well, the quality difference between the cameras is still there, but that's something they can solve. So, oh no, the phone can now do what the big-ass camera can do. And then, of course, now people see this portrait relight feature. And you can say about that what you want if you're like, I don't need that, or I'll move the scene, or it looks stupid. But just think about what happened. A single-lens mirrorless camera can never get a 3D picture of the environment and therefore relight anything. It just optically catches what there is. And Apple might now have a V1 of this effect and might not look super good. But as we know, software gets better, chips get better, sensors get better. The thing is, the software camera now has an edge over the hardware camera, over the mirrorless or SLRs. And there's no way an SLR can catch up without actually starting to add the hardware that smartphones have in them. So in my head, the end of high-end photography equipment being in the hands of amateurs is now officially going to decline, because software cameras have now shown
The end of high-end cameras? Reframe that for a second.
People are no longer going to buy SLRs or mirrorless cameras much as they did over the past few years, because software cameras now have the edge over them, which the other cameras cannot catch back without copying. It just puts them behind from the hardware perspective. And I think it's really, really magical that Apple did this like this. And then especially with the front-facing camera that has a depth sensor in it, that camera will do these effects much better if you think about it, because it does full 3D scanning of your face. So the relighting feature will work even better because it knows your nose. Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, but I'm super curious about where this is going to go, because they can do much more. They can record your face. They can record animations. You can even have like a text-to-speech Giphy image of yourself by just taking a photo and then later on your face being animated.
No, so I agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that, again, people get hung up, as I said, on the screen, the square, the rectangle.
Right.
But AR kit, basically the mini Kinect in the top of the phone.
Yeah.
The stuff that they're doing with photography. And, you know, they're introducing wireless charging with the 10. So, again, I think as a designer, you can start to look at all the different new use cases that are enabled through wireless charging, through lack of wires, through the fact that you now have a mini phone on your wrist. And I think this will become much more prominent.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of really cool new use cases that are going to be enabled. And the reason that I think it's important to watch Apple is because we're seeing whatever Apple is doing, other people are following along.
Yeah.
So you can get an idea of what's going to be coming down the pipe. We good to wrap up, man?
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm trying to think if there's any other, you know, big announcements. I think everyone was hoping for something, you know, earth shattering, mind blowing. But again, I think this is evolution.
HDR, right? HDR.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. On my Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're ending. Later, man.
Bye. Bye.